Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, and brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. And it is about the gospel of the kingdom. The idea, very clearly anyway, that Isaiah 61, 1-4 is what we should walk out in our daily lives. And if you aren't doing that, I just want to just challenge you. We're coming up into this Easter season. If you're not doing that, I just challenge you. Just see if you pray about this, that the Lord won't help you to do it. All right. Let's read this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Is that not what we are supposed to be doing? Now, today, I'm going to ask you to take notes. There is so much happening right now that it's, you're going to want to take some notes. And a lot of it we've predicted on the show before, and we are seeing it happen in real time. And I want you to take notes on a few things, particularly the solutions. And we are going to start on the international front with Debka file, the wayward tanker, or should say container ship, excuse me, in the Suez Canal is now unblocked. Was it on purpose? Because it's going to take months for the shipping traffic to return to normal. Was it on purpose? I don't know. But I do know this, internationally, but particularly against the United States right now, cyber attacks are becoming, like major cyber attacks are becoming almost an everyday occurrence. They used to be every several months, then they were every several weeks, now they're every other day or so. And you can talk with your IT expert in your circle of influence and ask him if it's not happening. It is happening. And remember what Jack Decker said, that there would be an attempt to attack our cell phone infrastructure and our cyber infrastructure here in the United States, and that we may have to be prepared to go without the internet and without cell phones for a significant period of time. He was saying a couple of weeks, maybe even more, I don't know. Take this stuff seriously. It is ramping up right now as we speak. Now, this brings us to an interesting news story that you're not going to hear in a lot of places, but also coming from Debka file. The Chinese foreign minister is now in Tehran for a new cooperation deal. So, as Iran is hardening its stance against the United States, it is becoming buddy-buddy with China. And don't think that China is not aware of the Soviet strategy in the 1960s and 70s to infiltrate Islamic organizations in the Middle East and use them as a buffer against the United States. Well, that's what they're doing with Iran. General Mihai Pachipa, in his book Disinformation, laid this out that by the late 1970s, over 4,000 KGB agents have been infiltrated into the Middle East into Islamic organizations. The Chinese seem to be following suit, using Islamic countries as a buffer against the United States. Which brings us to the next thing on the international front. A Pentagon linguist was found guilty of leaking U.S. intel relating also to Israel, to Hezbollah. Miriam Taha Thompson, 63, a Pentagon linguist with a top security clearance, pleaded guilty on Friday, March 26, to passing to Hezbollah associate a classified U.S. intelligence information that was sought by, wait for it, Iran, of course, because Hezbollah is a proxy. And it was specifically U.S. intelligence information on the drone attack that killed top Iranian commander Qasem Soleimani on January 3rd, 2020. So they were trying to get to the contacts for retribution, figure out what and who was behind it. Again, they're going to try to gin up a crisis here in the Middle East. There's no question about this. And Iran is right in the center of all that. Which brings us to the next thing on the international front. And I want you to pay attention to this. I'm going to define a couple of terms here that are super important. And if you don't understand this, you're going to miss what's going to happen in the next year or so. I want to talk about two specific things. The first is vaccines. I want to define this for a second. Okay, what is a vaccine? All right. It used to be, and this was before COVID. Okay, and this is interesting that this is changing now. Before COVID, a vaccine was defined as, quote, a preparation of a weakened or killed pathogen, such as a bacterium or virus, or of a portion of the pathogen's structure that upon administration to an individual would stimulate antibody production or cellular immunity against the pathogen, but is incapable of causing a severe infection. Okay, after COVID, the definition of a vaccine is this: a preparation that is administered to stimulate the body's immune response against a specific infectious disease. An antigenic preparation of a typically inactivated or attenuated pathogenic agent, such as a bacterium or virus or one of its components or products. So that's the first, that's what it used to be. Now here's what they've added: a preparation of genetic material. This is the definition, folks. You listen to this. A preparation of genetic material, such as a strand of synthesized messenger RNA that is used by the cells of the body to produce an antigenic substance, such as a fragment of a virus known as a spike protein. Now, here's the issue with this. This is not a vaccine in literally the traditional sense of the word. This is a gene therapy or genetic modification, or as Dr. Simone Gold said, this is experimental by definition, medical definition, experimental gene therapy. And what they're doing is they're trying to stimulate a response not to fight the pathogen. They're trying to stimulate a response in the body to fight the symptoms. They're modifying people's DNA, their genetic makeup, I should say. Let me back up just so we're really specific on this. Not DNA, their genetic makeup to target a symptom. Number two that I want to talk about before we get into the rest of the briefing. There are a lot of people now that are sounding the alarm. I'm talking business owners, financial experts, sounding the alarm on inflation. Everything from just glass to OSB plywood, which used to be about, I don't know, it was about 12 bucks a sheet, something like that. And that was kind of expensive back in the day. It was 12 bucks a sheet. It's way up over $40 now. Food prices are increasing. This is inflation, okay? This is an increase in the money supply, which is actually decreasing the value of the currency. So this decrease in value is actually a hidden tax. It's actually confiscatory. In other words, it is taking some of your money because what you earned yesterday doesn't have the same value today for the same thing. And they are, boy, they are just pulling out all the stops in the silver market to keep silver and gold down by trading tons of paper silver and paper gold. But if today, if just a quarter of those people called for physical delivery of what they have in paper, it would crash the entire thing. And they know that. So this is manipulation, rank manipulation. And if you go to somebody and say, hey, I've got silver, or you want physical delivery of silver, you know that it is far above the spot price right now. But this is why it's above the spot price, because silver has always kept its value. Gold has always kept its value. That's why you can go back to a denarius during Greco-Roman times, and you can compare it to today with the same silver content and the same weight, and you see that it's held its value. Okay. In addition to this, this moratorium that is on evictions, okay, is creating a bubble in the economy. And this moratorium on evictions, once it is lifted, there are going to be a flood of evictions. And also, there is going to be a flood in the courts to try to make this actually happen. Here is the other scenario. If the eviction moratorium is not lifted, then you have a bunch of landowners who have tenants who are not paying, and they, how are they going to pay if they have a mortgage on something? They're just losing money. And so what this is headed toward is a massive influx on the market of houses for sale. And everybody's speculating on what might happen. This is heading toward what is called a stagflation scenario, where you have inflation with a devaluation of the currency, but you have inflation of everyday goods where the price is increasing, and because the currency is devaluing, you have everyday goods going up in price, and then you have major assets like homes devaluing. So it's actually devaluation across the board. It's devaluation of the currency and devaluation of assets. Normally, they don't happen at the same time. They happen opposite each other. But because of this eviction moratorium, this runs the risk of creating a stagflation scenario. And what are they going to do? They've created a bubble in the economy again. And don't let these politicians who know that this is happening try to fool you that they were just totally innocent on this. They know that this is an issue. And they're already trying to talk about how are they going to deal with it. Okay, that brings us now on the briefing to the Great Reset. The IMF is to redistribute U.S. wealth via a proto-global currency. This is coming to us from Alex Newman at The New American. The International Monetary Fund, in cahoots with the Biden administration, is preparing to issue $1 trillion worth of new, quote, special drawing rights. These are SDRs. We have talked about this on the show for years, which would pave the way to replace the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency while redistributing America's remaining wealth to foreigners and third world regimes. This is part of the Great Reset. According to media reports, the Biden Treasury, led by radical activist Janet Yellen, is so anxious to shower U.S. dollars on foreign nations that it is even working quietly to bypass the U.S. Congress. Under U.S. law, America's elected representatives must approve any SDR, special drawing right, issuance by the IMF in which the U.S. government receives more than $120 billion, the amount of its proportional stake in the global organization during any five-year period. In other words, it's supposed to maintain the balance. Special drawing rights are a basket of currencies that are compiled together as what is essentially a proto-global currency. And so what these guys are doing, I'm going to try to simplify this best I can. Essentially, what they're trying to do is replace the U.S. dollar with these special drawing rights, making the U.S. currency worth even less. And also give away total control. This is part of this Great Reset. And here I want to read another quote from this article. At the World Economic Forum, the leading front institution for the looming Great Reset, Columbia University professor, and that World Economic Forum is the tip of the spear on this Great Reset. Columbia University professor Jose Antonio Ocampo called for turning the SDR into a, quote, true global currency, end quote, not long before the pandemic began. So there you go. You have a very clear indicator that what we said may happen years ago, that they may ban Bitcoin, but keep a cryptocurrency made out of, guess what, special drawing rights as a one-world global currency. They are literally moving forward on that right now. All right, that brings us now to the national front. And this is an even more appropriate moniker for the pretender, China Joe. I used to have Uncle Joe. China Joe is now asking states to reinstate mask mandate. Enough. No, we do not comply. Enough. Enough. That coming to us from Breitbart. Also from Gateway Pundit. This was reported here a week ago where it talked about how BLM had a mob that trapped 100 customers inside a grocery store. We're shutting down, right? Now, coming to us from Western Journal, heavily armed Antifa mob attacks pro-veteran demonstration. This was a freedom rally. This freedom rally was going toward the state capitol in Salem, Oregon. And they blocked the Freedom Rally from reaching the state capitol. About 200 Antifa demonstrators, whom police described as heavily armed, clashed with officers and pro-freedom rally goers. Why are we not treating these guys like the terrorist organizations they are? Instead, they're trying to call patriots that. And veterans are now being hit with this stuff. Antifa threw rocks, balloons filled with paint, and other objects at vehicles. It was reported. All right. Back on the New American, Florida Governor DeSantis nixes the idea of a vaccine passport in Florida. And this really is what I think is going to be happening here more and more. You're going to see a return of federalism where states are going to say, we are not going to comply with that. Thank you very much. In our state, that's fine. And the reason is because the Biden administration has come out very clearly and said, as the pretender is wont to do, that they want to have a vaccine passport to essentially do anything. That's really what it is. And I want to drive this point home because Rutgers University now is to require in fall 2021 students to receive the COVID gene therapy. So these gene therapy passports, as it were, is what they're going to try to use as a control mechanism across the board. Now, I want to highlight something that happened in the former Soviet Union. Christians were not able to hold jobs, and they were not able to go to university. But it was never because they were Christian. It was always because they had not adapted to the state. So, for instance, they would have a work day on Sunday, the communist regime would, and the Christians would not show up to because they were at church. And so then they were subverting the state because they hadn't showed up for the work day on Sunday. So the communists would always say, oh, no, we have religious freedom. And if you read the old Soviet Union constitution, it said religious freedom in there, religious liberty in there. It did. But they would use these kind of things to essentially ostracize a part of society. That is what is behind this COVID gene therapy right now. All right, on top of that, Pelosi and Kamala have been sued for banning annual prayer event at the Capitol. The vigil planned for the express purpose of beseeching God's healing from divisiveness was banned. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Vice President Kamala Harris have been named defendants in this lawsuit, banning a prayer vigil held annually at the Capitol. The lawsuit was filed by Reverend Patrick J. Mahoney. Great to see the Irish being pointed on some of this. He wants to hold a Good Friday prayer vigil, as he has in previous years on the lower western terrace of the Capitol. However, he is being prevented by a, quote, no speech zone, end quote, that the defendants have established. Remember when they did this at the Bundy Ranch in Nevada, that they had a no speech zone and then they had a free speech zone and it was this little caged area? Courts have continually ruled that such machinations are unconstitutional. And there's a new court ruling, that there was an appellate court ruling out as well recently that talks about this issue. And it, in part of it, it wasn't just free speech, it's also the free exercise of religion. So anyway, the fact of the matter is any restriction on religious exercise is presumptively unconstitutional, according to a new decision that's out. And I'll brief that on another show because there's so much more information to go through right now. But I wanted you to hear this. This is happening. And Christians are the targets. Christians are the targets. Now, moving on to the next thing. I'm going to end with an international thing. I'm going to go to the next thing that's just absolutely abominable. The Washington Times brings this to us. Satanists sue for the religious right to ritual abortion. I want to read that again. Satanists sue for the religious right to ritual abortion. They are essentially proving all of those people right and us that have been saying that child sacrifice is real. This is a real thing. This is part of what's behind abortion in America. And here it is in black and white. You can read the article for yourself. I posted it on all the social media pages. From the Washington Times, the blood of the innocents cries out. Wow. Also, this fascinating to me, again, you have a feckless leadership at the top, and this includes Republicans, even at the state level. They aren't doing anything about this Islamic terrorism inside the United States of America. You have this attack in Boulder, Colorado, in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood. The guy is very clear in what his belief system is. Now, he has not been proven guilty in a court of law, so he is alleged at this point. But why is the tie to Islam not being investigated right now? And this is not the only one. Back on January 19th of this year, U.S. Army PFC Cole James Bridges was charged by complaint with attempting to provide material support to a designated foreign terrorist organization and attempting to murder U.S. military service members. Why aren't we taking this seriously? And I've posted this article up. It's coming from Understanding the Threat. We need to understand the threat. We need to understand the threat. Which brings me to the next thing. This from Technocracy News. 79%. Instagram is the worst offender at selling your personal data. Next is Facebook. Then after that is LinkedIn, Uber Eats, and YouTube. Probably no surprise to anybody. Instagram far exceeds its parent in selling, that parent being Facebook, in selling users' personal information to third parties. So if you're on Instagram, just know that. You probably already do. All right, and that brings us to the last thing. Communist Chinese Party outlines detailed plan to defeat the United States, including, wait for it, manipulating elections as part of their plan. And this was detailed in a speech in 2016. Yes, July 2016. Speech on Sino-U.S. strategic philosophy was given over two full days at the Southern Club Hotel business class in South China's Guangzhou City. Jin Kunrong is who gave this speech. Once again, consistently, unrestricted warfare by two Chinese colonels, General Qi's speech, and this talking about how they want to defeat the United States. It includes manipulating elections, but it also includes creating bioweapons that are genetic specific. In other words, they will affect one ethnicity, but not another. You can read this article for yourselves. I posted it up on the various social media sites. All right. That brings us to the local front and the last part of the briefing today. Coming up, April 8th, Iron Sharpens Iron, 6:30. Bevelin Beatty, myself, Ken Peters, at Covenant Church Spokane, 6:30, crushing the Marxist narrative. Also, April 16th through 17th is going to be the Rooted Conference at Covenant, where we have leadership training for our young adults. Now, this can include high school seniors, so you're like 17, 18 and up, young adults conference. Matt McCluskey is going to be there. Jacob Castanon is going to be doing worship there. Really encourage you, if you have a young adult, send them to the Rooted Conference. You can find out more online and register there as well. Now, some solutions quickly. Number one, go to Gab, set up an account. Number two, start encrypting your communications, on your phone. Use Wire. That's really good. Signal is not solid like it used to be. There is relation mapping that is happening with Signal. So Wire is a good alternative. For your mail, you can use several, but probably the most familiar is Proton Mail. Also, it is really advisable to have some cash on hand in case the net goes down for a while. Always good to have cash on hand anyway for an emergency, but strongly advise that you look at that and think about it now, based on everything that's happening around us. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. Make sure you go to iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon if you want to listen to the podcast, if you miss a live episode, or you can hear it repeated at 9 o'clock across the entire ACN network, Eastern Washington, North Idaho, Northeast Oregon. And remember, too, that you should share this with your friends and family so they can get the truth and open their eyes to what is going on around them in this country right now. All right, that brings us to our guest today, Dennis Barrant, who is a contributor to The New American. He writes on all kinds of different things, but specifically the dehumanizing effect of wearing face masks for no better reason than the quarantine of the healthy. Dennis, it's great to have you on the show again. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Awesome. So I want to talk about the mask wearing thing. There's a psychological component behind this. And just as I was talking about earlier in the show, the pretender in the White House right now wants to force states essentially to reinstate the mask mandate. What's going on behind all of this? And what should the folks out there know right now?
Well, you know, there's something people need to be aware of, or at least keep in mind, and I know they've heard the phrase, and that is we have to accept the coming of a new normal. And a new normal is only reached via transformation from the old normal to what they hope to institute as the new normal. And if you look at masks, and you can see that they're not effective at stopping the virus, where they've been widely mandated and implemented, they really had no effect, if you look at the statistics, on the progress of the virus. There's another purpose for masks, and masks have an almost occult, and in fact, in some specific examples, an actual occult usage in the practice of transformation from an old person's individuality to a new personal individuality. And masks are historically have been used in one of their means of use to affect that transition to a new normal in an individual personality. Well, now we're looking at that being expressly used to create the new normal for the entire society that is bandied about in terms of that phraseology. So we're looking at a whole social transformation, and masks are a tool of psychological manipulation to carry that out.
You know, I find it interesting. I served over in the Middle East, the hijab and the burqa. There was this attempt to cover people's face, covering their identity to make them more compliant. Can you talk a little bit about that specific aspect of this?
Well, in fact, there are actual academic studies that have been done historically looking at various ways in which masks have been used specifically to ensure compliance on some populations. There are certain African mask usages with regard to certain secret societies in Liberia, for instance. There's an academic study out of Harvard in the 1950s that talks about this, where the masks were used as a way to ensure compliance amongst the women in that particular population, among other things. And I referenced some of this in the recent article that I wrote on the subject for The New American magazine. But what happens with masks is you're obscuring some of the features of the human face. And humans are intrinsically visual communicators in terms of the way that the biological systems of human vision are set up. And, you know, looking at the facial cues really tell you a lot about, you know, what a person is trying to communicate in terms of their feelings and whatnot. And it's very, very essential to the human experience. So covering up half of the face or more disrupts that visual cue and a key element of personal communication, and that is fundamental to ensuring control.
It is, I believe. And I think that this push for control is really behind everything that we're seeing right now. Where do you think this is going to head? Do you think we're going to have masks forever? And what is your recommendation for people? What can they do to push back on this?
Well, the very first thing in terms of starting with your second question, what they should do to push back on it is go out and get yourself educated by reading as much as you can, not just in the mainstream. You should read the mainstream to see what they're saying, but go out and read the alternative sources as well. And look at the scientists who have been critical of this. Look at the Dan Mask study from Denmark here a couple months ago and the results of that. And come to the conclusion and realize that the science does not support the wearing of a mask to stop a virus. It just isn't going to work. It hasn't worked. It doesn't work. And, you know, then you can take personal responsibility for your own health and take the mask off. Don't allow yourself to be misled through fear and propaganda. And, you know, go out and exemplify your independence by not wearing that mask if you've convinced yourself to feel comfortable doing that. And make sure you support your legislators, your governor, if they are anti-mask. Make sure they understand that they have the support, your support. Encourage other people to support them because they're under a great deal of pressure as well to conform. If you have a conforming legislature and they're forcing masks, and you have a governor that's been forcing masks, don't hesitate to raise your voice against that. Get in touch with your representatives at all levels of government and insist they abandon this attempt to control the population.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those of us that have been pushing back. The immediate demonization that is happening right now, specifically from publications, if you can even call it that, like Newsweek, they're trying to make it sound like if you don't wear masks, you actually suffer from some sort of psychopathy. Discuss that a little bit about this demonization and also historically where such demonization has led.
Well, you know, demonization is a key element of dissolving the unity of a particular population. And we've seen that happen repeatedly everywhere a totalitarian state has been erected or attempted to be erected. One of the things that is necessary for a totalitarian state to take power is to divide the population that would otherwise resist it. So divide and conquer is a key part of totalitarian state completion of that kind of program. So if you see that type of thing happening here where populations are now being radically disrupted by all manner of means of to attempt to sow discord. And so we're seeing that with the masked versus the unmasked. You're definitely seeing a strong push of that for the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. You're seeing it split down racial lines with the attempts to sow racial hatreds and racial animosities. You know, they're doing everything in the media, you know, and the people who are behind the media, to sow as much discord amongst the American population as possible, because that separates people from each other and effective opposition to the totalitarian aims of those attempting to take power becomes much more difficult to achieve. So that's why you're seeing, I think, in my opinion, you're seeing all of these attempts made to stoke fear, distrust, discord, and disarray amongst the American people. It's something that's been done many times before in the past in many other countries. We're now seeing it here directly.
Now, one of my additional duties when I was in the U.S. Army was NBC officer, nuclear biological chemical officer. And one of the things that we were taught was that biological weapons particularly were very persistent in the sense that the particles were so small, you had to have a robust protection against them as far as suits, masks were concerned. But it wasn't masks in the sense that we're talking about. It was masks with filters on them. Can you, in a very quick nutshell, just tell folks why this doesn't work to wear a blue made in Malaysia mask or wherever else that has been foisted on America?
Well, the most obvious thing is if you're looking at your average cloth mask or a surgical mask or some of these things, they simply don't have the filter size necessary to stop a virus that is much smaller than the gaps within the fibers of the mask. Now, as the media is wont to say, they will stop larger particles of mucus that may contain viral particles. But that's not going to stop the virus itself in most cases. So, in fact, you need a mask that has not only the correct filter media for the size of the particulates that you're trying to filter out, but you also have to have this mask fit tested, properly worn. In other words, so that it can be effective in preventing the particles from escaping around the sides, up and down and behind and underneath the mask. So without that proper fit test, the mask is not going to be working. It's not going to do what is intended for it. And, you know, in many cases, you need to have not just you know, a good fit test is like N95 mask, but you would need to have an actual respirator with canister filters and the appropriate canister filters for whatever substance it is you're trying to filter out. And again, it has to be properly fit tested. And there are people in industry, for instance, if you work in any kind of, you know, many blue-collar jobs, if you work around many chemical plants, if you work in a lot of different industries where there's dust and other exposure hazards, there's going to be a safety officer there who is specifically trained with how to fit test the proper kind of masks for the type of environment that you're encountering that's hazardous. You're not just going to walk in there with any random surgical mask. And we're talking now about particulates that are much larger than a virus. So, you know, when you step back and look at what is even normal industrial practice in the United States, you can see right away that these kind of masks that are being, you know, propagandized for use against the virus are completely useless in actual fact.
It seems like this is just going to be one part of the control mechanisms that they're putting on us right now, or trying to put on us right now. We have this great reset looming. The idea that there's going to be one currency, and you know, all of these things. Can you kind of paint the bigger picture of how? Because a lot of people say, "Ah, it's not that big a deal. Why are you worried about masks?" But it is an important part of what they're trying to do. And if you could paint the bigger picture as well.
Well, it's absolutely an important part. Now, when you step back and look at the Great Reset, there's a lot of things that are going on there that are much, much larger than the coronavirus pandemic. So the Great Reset really gets its start by looking at the trends that are taking place in the workplace with regard to artificial intelligence, robotics, and the growing population. And it has been hypothesized that because of these technological advancements, there's going to be rampant unemployment as workers are replaced by artificial intelligence and robotics. So the Great Reset envisions, how do you control a population that is going to be losing its economic grounding because of the job transformation that's going to occur as a result of these things? You don't want to have a population that's going to become increasingly restless. There has to be a way to control that population. And so the Great Reset, as you know, bandied about by the World Economic Forum and as supported by the United Nations and other international bodies, is really a comprehensive plan to ensure the smooth transition away from, you know, human workers to a situation where production is increasingly done by a roboticized artificial intelligence infrastructure. And the coronavirus pandemic is a very convenient means of instituting control measures and getting people used to being controlled and having their lives much more circumscribed ahead of this so-called Great Reset that is now being pursued so heavily. Again, by the World Economic Forum as the main implementing agency, the main coordinating agency working downstream from the world body at the United Nations and its allied international organizations.
So what can people expect here in the next 6 months to a year? What do you think this is going to look like for the average American? And also, I mean, what this is really doing is pushing Americans to create almost a parallel society where they're just operating outside of these weird, Orwellian, Brave New World-ish constructs. People just don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. You know, where do you see that going, the reaction to what we're going to see here in the next 6 months to a year?
You know, we have a window of opportunity for good citizenship to make a difference at the state level, first of all. It is incredibly important at local levels, too, but especially at the state level, for individual states to stand up to the things that are coming down from the higher levels of government at the federal level. And, of course, people should work on their federal representatives as well and make sure that, you know, they're in communication with those offices and letting people know their opinions on these matters. In terms of, you know, short term, in the next 6 or 8 months or a year, you're seeing a very, very strong push. And this was evident all the way going back to the beginning of the pandemic and even before that. But you're seeing a very strong push now for implementation of vaccine passports. And that's the next logical step after you get people accustomed to being controlled via masks, is to get them controlled via vaccine passports, which really are an enhanced form of digital ID. And you will need to, you know, in the regime that they're trying to institute with regard to these passports, you will need to be able to have one of these digital passports to access all elements of life. It'll start with things like air travel, and the International Air Transport Association, IATA, is already, you know, really working very hard to get those instituted for the air transport industry. They are the international organization that almost all the airlines are members of, so they're the coordinating agency for that. You'll see that there first. That's already been attempted and tested with a flight, I believe, from Singapore to the UK, where they tested the IATA vaccine passport for that. Then you'll see that rolled out to other things as well, such as sporting venues. You'll see it rolled out even eventually down to your local restaurants and taverns, where you'll need to present your vaccine passport. And the vaccine passport ultimately will be used to separate the compliant from the non-compliant, and you will then have, you know, really two levels of American government, and really not just American, but worldwide. You see many world leaders, including Boris Johnson in the UK and Angela Merkel out of Germany today, and several others come forward and propose a new international treaty to govern vaccine passports, and that was just in the news today. So this is a very strong push in the next 6, 8, 12 months for Americans to be aware of. And if you're opposed to that, to do good citizenship practice, get in touch with your representatives and actually, you know, do your best to get them to work very hard to oppose this in whatever body they represent you.
One of the interesting things today in the news was Governor DeSantis from Florida, and I think we're going to see more of this as well, is this kind of neo-federalism, if you will, where states are saying, no, we're not going to comply with this garbage. We're going to step back and step out of it. It's not going to be enforced in our state. Do you foresee that also happening? And how do you think the globalists are going to react to that, you know, especially when a lot of money comes from above to state governments?
Yeah, it's absolutely fundamental that this take place at the level of the states, first of all, from the point of view of people interested in maintaining traditional American freedoms. The states are absolutely crucial. Florida is a good example. And it's going to become more and more crucial. You have some of the internationalists like George Soros, for instance, who have done a great deal to fund strategically placed people in campaigns and in positions of power within the states. So, for instance, you know, attorneys general in some of the states, others. It's extremely important to have that be countered by good citizens of the United States getting in touch with their representatives, supporting good quality representatives, being engaged at the local level. I really don't care how much money comes out of the people like George Soros with their machinations that they try to, you know, try to do. I don't think that that amount of money, no matter how much it is, can ever counter a mass movement of good citizenship on the part of Americans who are informed and interested in maintaining their freedom.
I completely agree with that, and I think that that's where this is going to head. The people have to stand up now. We have too many elected officials on both sides of the aisle that just aren't doing anything. They're allowing this to happen. In fact, some are complicit in this, clearly. It's going to be we, the people, that are going to stand up county by county across this country. And so as we get into this new era, there has been a huge disinformation push by the mainstream media, and a lot of people say, I don't want to have anything to do with the fake news media anymore. And they're going to alternative media sources that are true media sources, like the New American. How can people make that a part of their daily lives? And also, what are some other good resources besides even the New American that people can go to get the truth?
Well, you know, I'm very biased about the New American magazine, so I'll say everyone should definitely check us out at thenewamerican.com. Please get a subscription, you know, give us a call. Go online, check us out. I think we do a very good job of covering things. We're working very hard right now to bring in more and more people who are skilled writers and skilled researchers. We're expanding, you know, those people who contribute to the magazine every single day. So we're trying to become the best one-stop shop for you. But there are others out there as well. There are other organizations who do good work. You know, I know at Highwire, Del Bigtree's done a lot of good work on this. The America's Frontline Doctors Group, you know, we've done a lot of work with them. We've interviewed them at the New American a number of times. They've done a great job on the coronavirus. There's independents out there, too. Sukarit Bhakti and Karina Rees in Germany, two fantastically skilled scientists, microbiologists with many, many years of experience, wrote a fantastic book, Coronavirus False Alarm. I highly recommend that. Take a look at Sukarit Bhakti's interviews. Very, very informative. I don't think anyone can watch him and come away not convinced that, you know, there's terrible things happening. He's very well informed, and he's one of the best scientists out there. He knows his stuff. So you just got to look around. You can't just be satisfied with your local Gannett newspaper, or with the New York Times or the Washington Post. They're going to give you the mainstream view, and the mainstream view is only going to be limited to what's acceptable to the mainstream. And, you know, the mainstream is taking every opportunity they can to censor people. A lot of the people you're going to see interviewed at thenewamerican.com have had their YouTube channels taken away. They've had their social media accounts blocked. They've been attacked and intimidated in a number of different ways, but they're still bravely speaking out, providing quality information. You know, America's frontline doctors includes people like Dr. Lee Merritt, an incredibly skilled, knowledgeable, and credentialed medical professional. She knows just a great deal about what's happening with regard to public health policy and how it impacts medical practice and the health of her patients. You know, listen to what Dr. Merritt has to say. I think he'll be very well informed. There's a ton of great resources out there if you do a little bit of legwork to find them.
No question about it. In the last few minutes that we have left, if you could speak directly to the younger generation, the millennial generation, and even those younger than that, that think, oh, you know, the government, that's who's supposed to protect us. That's who we're supposed to trust in. Just isn't the case. Historically hasn't been the case. But I hear it more and more these days that people are just trusting in the government, and why that isn't true, or it's not a good strategy in any sense historically ever.
Right. And I think history is your key point there that I want to emphasize to the young people out there. You probably, as a young person, are only getting a very, very light and very heavily edited rendering of history provided to you in your high school education and maybe even in your college education. And when your history is being highly edited and being very lightly transmitted to you, you're not necessarily getting the full picture of everything that's happened. So if you don't know what happened in the Soviet Union in the 1930s and the 1920s, if you don't know what happened in Germany in the 1930s and the 1940s, if you don't know what happened in more recent years in Ethiopia in the 1980s or in Laos in the 1970s, take some time and go look these things up. I think you will find that people found that their governments did not have their best interests at heart. Government is not necessarily your friend. Our own founding fathers wanted to bind it down with the change of the Constitution because they understood that government all too often could be the tool used to oppress minorities and even majorities. And so they wanted to institute a type of government that would have many, many checks and balances to prevent the unhelpful usage of power. So go ahead and read up on those things. Take a little initiative to learn some of the history that maybe hasn't been conveyed to you quite in the way it should have been. And it's going to be an eye-opening experience, and you'll have a much better perspective on where we are today and where we're going. And for those millennials and younger people out there, you know, we're really going to be in your hands moving forward, not only for yourself, but for the sake of our entire country. You know, do your best to learn history. It's not an academic exercise. It literally is your future.
Dennis, if you could, one more time, plug where people can go to find out more about you and read more about the things you're talking about.
All right. The best place to go is thenewamerican.com. We'd love to have everybody listening come and visit us on the site. We publish many, many articles every single day on topics of interest and relevance to what's happening in our world today. We have many, many videos. We have some of the best writers that you're going to find. And we're expanding all the time. We've added several new writers just within the last 2 weeks. And, I think that we're trying to put together the best one-stop shop for the kind of perspective that you're just not going to see because it's being censored everywhere else. You can get that at thenewamerican.com.
Dennis, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Really appreciate everything that you're doing and highlighting this attempt at tyranny here in our time. And keep up the fight.
Thank you very much, sir. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
All right. Blessings to you and yours. Okay, everybody, if you get a chance, go to The New American and check out this article by Dennis Barrant. It is called Dehumanizing and Demonizing Skeptics Who Don't Wear Face Masks. It is an absolutely fantastic article. You can hand it to your friends and family who are still, unbelievably, but still stuck on this thing and don't understand that this is a control mechanism that is being put in place so that they stay quiet and that they comply. So take a look at this, and I'm going to post it up on the various social media pages that I have. And again, if you don't know those, it's MeWe, Gab, WeSpeak, and I still occasionally will throw something up on Farcebook. All right. I want to end again with this idea of where we're at today. If you don't understand the Chinese plan against America, read Unrestricted Warfare by two Chinese colonels. You can find it free online. check the PDF out, and go take a look at the types of warfare that are talked about in there. Because what you begin to learn after about page 30 is that the Chinese view, Chinese communists view, every aspect of life as a battlefield. Trade, medicine, politics, everything is a battlefield. So understand that. Number two, General Chiwatian's speech very clearly outlines that they want to depopulate the United States and they want to take over countries around them. And this includes all the way down to Australia, by the way, and New Zealand. Okay, so if you've got friends in Australia and New Zealand, they hopefully are awakened to this, but if they're not, you need to educate them. So with this, the Chinese now, 2016, there was a speech that said that they wanted to manipulate U.S. elections and they want to use biotechnology as a front for creating bioweapons that are genetic specific. In other words, they are ethnic specific. So they would depopulate certain ethnicities, but not a particular Han ethnicity. This is scary stuff in the sense, not that we're afraid of anything, because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and He goes before us. He protects us. But it is concerning in the sense that this happened before in Nazi Germany and in the former Soviet Union. And it's our job in this time to never let that happen. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for listening to me today here on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.